Good morning, and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Radio Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our very special guest this morning is Lieutenant General George Peach Taylor, Jr., Surgeon General of the United States Air Force. Good morning, General.
Good morning, Al.
Also joining us in our conversation, also from IBM, is Michael Perry. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
General, undoubtedly many of our listeners will be familiar with the Air Force, but perhaps you could share some history with us. When was the Air Force Medical Service created, and what is its mission today?
Al, the Air Force Medical Service was created in 1949. Many of your listeners may remember that the United States Air Force was stood up in 1947. It was a little less than 2 years later that the Air Force Medical Service was stood up, along with the Air Force Chaplain Service and the JAG Service, to provide direct health care support to the United States Air Force globally. Our mission is not much changed today, in that our responsibilities are to take care of airmen anywhere they may work or live. We also have an increased responsibility to take care of our joint teammates, whether they be Marines or sailors or soldiers or Coast Guardsmen or many civilians that work on our facilities or any of our overseas locations. So our mission is to provide world-class health care anywhere, anytime.
General, can you give us a sense of the scale of these operations in terms of the size, number of personnel, the budget, locations, things of that nature?
Sure. The Air Force Medical Service is one of the three services, medical services in the DOD. We have about 40,000 medics working in 75 medical treatment facilities across the world, from Korea to Iraq. Budget is about $5.5 billion, and we have about 1.2 million enrollees that we take care of every year. To give you a sense of the total work that we do about 7.5 to 8 million outpatient visits every year, and we have about 50,000 admissions to our hospitals every year.
Can you describe to us your specific responsibilities and duties as the Surgeon General?
I'm the principal advisor to the Secretary of the Air Force and the Chief of Staff of the Air Force on health service policies. What does that mean? We work the budget every year. We determine where manpower should be placed. We help standardize the practice of medicine across the Air Force Medical Service. We ensure that the quality of health care is of the highest order. My responsibility is to ensure that the men and women that are out there delivering health care are operating from the best possible medical platforms, using the best possible equipment, with the best possible organization in how they deliver that care. And our organization in the Air Force has to be a little different from the Army and Navy because we're working on an Air Force base in an Air Force method of operations, which is, we call it one base, one boss. Most of the places that we operate have one wing on one base with one unit. And so our medical groups are organized as part of the wing rather than in a separate command that you may find in the Army and the Navy.
Before I joined IBM, I had the pleasure to serve 27 years in the Air Force, in the Air Force Medical Service Corps, coincidentally. So I feel like I can speak with some insight in saying, I know you're a very distinguished Surgeon General. What I find especially interesting is that you have a lot of experience in flying aircraft, or at least riding in aircrafts. And I'd be interested to hear about that and for you to describe your career path, how you began your career in the Air Force, if you will.
I went to medical school under a health profession scholarship program. I joined the Air Force for them to pay for medical school. When I went through medical school, very much like a lot of people do in undergraduate degrees, you're not really sure what you're going to major in. And in about halfway through medical school, I decided I wanted to be an orthopedist. But I owed the Air Force time in order to pay for medical school, and I didn't get into an orthopedic residency right away. So when I went ahead and joined the Air Force, and I vividly remember getting the sheet of paper during my internship that says, are you ready to do your Air Force time? Yes. On the back page it says, would you like to be a GMO, general medical officer or a flight surgeon. So I just checked the flight surgeon box. And it turns out my first assignment was with an F-15 squadron in Okinawa where I was a flight surgeon. And a flight surgeon's job is to take care of the pilots, their families, the maintenance folks that are associated with the aircraft, and be able to deploy with that squadron anywhere and do and take care of them. In order to relate to the pilots, you have to fly. So I got a chance to fly with in the F-15. So I've flown, been a flight surgeon my whole life now. I gave up the orthopedics dream and stayed with a flight surgeon. So I've been a flight surgeon my whole career. So I've flown in a whole bunch of different kinds of airplanes to understand the environment they operate in so you can better relate to the pilots and the other air crew that you're taking care of.
General, we understand that you received an award from the German Ministry of Defense for the work supporting aeromedical improvements in the global community. Could you describe your work and relationship with this organization?
The Chief of Aeromedical Services, or the Chief Flight Surgeon for the German Air Force, and I go back probably 15 or 20 years. Throughout my career as a flight surgeon, we've been working very closely with NATO, working standards, working methods of approaching common problems, because after all, we're dealing with humans in the aerospace environment. The Germans have worked very hard to create an aeromedical capability, and we've worked very hard with them over time to share our experience in aeromedical evacuations as the Germans have developed theirs. It turns out it became very important for the Germans as they began to find themselves involved in missions outside of Germany proper. If you think about the Cold War days, most of the German Army, Navy, and Air Force was focused on NATO and the defense of Europe, and they found themselves in the 90s and in the 21st century placing Germans way outside of NATO. In the mid-90s, they found themselves in Bosnia. And in, and now they found themselves in places like Kabul. And they've had the need to move very sick patients very long ways, and aeromedical capability is really important for that. And so, you know, it was a wonderful thing for Dr. Rodig to put me in for this Bundeswehr Award to recognize the importance of the relationships that we have with the Germans.
Excellent. What role did the Air Force play in the base closing process? We will ask Air Force Surgeon General, Lieutenant General George Peach Taylor, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.